Well, I dare say that most of us at some stage in our lives doubt that we're a Christian, not sure if we're the real deal. And that's because we're sinful. We often do things that are wrong, say things that are wrong, think things that are wrong, and that all comes from the fact that we actually don't trust God's word as we should. We say, am I really a Christian? We think about that. Now, I wonder whether Peter, not Peter Stavert, Peter the Apostle, actually thought the same thing about himself. We're going to read the Bible in just a moment from Mark chapter 8. In the passage just before Mark chapter 8, Peter says to Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. Messiahs don't die. Jesus turns, rails against him and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, if Jesus says, basically, you're Satan, you have to wonder, am I really a Christian? Am I following him? I wonder whether Peter thought that. And if he didn't think that then, sometime a little bit later, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter says to Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to die for you if that's necessary. A few minutes later, what's Peter doing? Peter's denying that he even knows Jesus because he's scared. And then he weeps bitterly. I wonder whether at that point, in fact, I think he probably at that point said, I don't know whether I'm the real deal. I must be a fake. I must be a fraud. Sometimes wonder whether you're a Christian, do you? I have. We're going to come back to that a little bit later or at the end of the service sermon. But most of us know what Christians are. Christian is somebody who puts their trust in Jesus, believes Jesus, puts their trust in him, knows that Jesus died for them, and you believe that. And that's true. But if you believe these truths, they must actually change you. They must affect your life. You've got to act on them. Because Jesus, who is the Saviour, is also the King, the Lord. That's what Mark's Gospel is telling us all the way through. Belief in Jesus must lead to action. I want you to imagine, it wouldn't be hard, that the phone goes off in our service now. It's Rick. It's Rick's phone. He goes, I've got my phone on, walks out and picks it up. A minute later, he bursts back into church while I'm preaching. He says, I've just got off the phone from the police. There's a bomb planted under the floorboards. Everybody gets out. It's going off in 5 minutes. What would you do? Well, if you don't believe Rick, if you think he's kidding, you'll just want me to keep on preaching. Let me say it's a good sermon, so you'll be glad to listen to it. Or maybe we could sing a song, get the musos back. If you believe Rick, what are you going to do? Out the door. Women and children first. Sort of like the Titanic and all that sort of stuff. Maybe. If you know the truth about Jesus, that he came to earth to save you from your sins and from hell, then you want to act on it. You want to put it into practice. So how will you act if you're a real Christian? Well, that's what Jesus talks about in the passage we're going to read from Mark chapter 8. But let's pray first. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, as we read what you say in this passage, please help us to hear you speak directly to us. And please work in us that we would act on what you say. Amen. Well, let's read the passage. It's on the screen. If you've got it in your Bibles, even better, please turn to Mark chapter 8. I'll give you a moment to do that. And if you're online, please open your Bibles too, because it won't be on the screen. You might need it as we go through this sermon. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. These verses are really quite straightforward. Not hard to understand, but they're incredibly hard hitting. They tell us what Jesus says we must do to be his disciple, a Christian. I put together a little summary of these verses. I hope it's helpful. It's on your service outline. Please get it out. If you think I can say it better, then please tell me afterwards. But let's have a look at it. It's on, again, on the sermon outline. A Christian, this is my little summary of these verses, a Christian is serious-minded about daily giving up their own way, owning Jesus in public, and living for him and for the gospel. Say it again. A Christian is serious-minded about daily giving up their own way, owning Jesus in public, and living for him and the gospel. Well, let's have a look at those verses from Mark chapter 8 a bit more closely. Let's look at what Jesus says. Verse 34, I've titled this in the sermon outline there, Christians execute themselves daily. Jesus says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's the main verse. It's the guts of the passage. A real Christian denies themselves, takes up their cross and follows Jesus. So is that you? Is it me? Now, I've put daily in the heading there because it's not so much that you do that once in the past, tick the box and say, well, that's done, I'm right. No, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus is a continuing action, a daily action, a lifestyle. This is how Jesus describes a follower of his, a disciple. This is his summary. And it's hard-hitting, isn't it? So, are you someone who does it, who executes yourself daily to follow Jesus? Well, you might say, yes, Richard, but I'm not sure exactly what Jesus means. What does it mean to deny yourself? Well, deny yourself the rule of your life. That's what it means. Deny the idea that you own your life. The New Living Translation puts it like this, give up your own way. When I was a kid in primary school, I used to play follow the leader. You probably did that as well. Now, if you play that game, what do? You give up the right to lead. You're not the lead, somebody else is the leader, and you follow them. If you don't follow them, if you do something they don't do, what? You're out. Now, this will show my age, but back in the 70s and 80s, there was a great band called Fleetwood Mac. Yeah, I remember them, yes, yes. What was one of their great songs? Go your own way. Yeah, whatever. Go your own way. It's anti-Christian. It's wrong. Exactly opposite to what Jesus says here. Deny yourself. And take up your cross, which just takes denying yourself to the next level. Jesus is making himself even clearer. Kill yourself. Execute yourself. Everyone back in Jesus' day knew what it meant to take up your own cross. Because the Romans, who were the occupying force of the day, if they were going to execute you, they made you carry part of your own cross, the very cross that they were going to nail you to. That's what they did to Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying you must do to yourself. You do not own yourself. You do not go your own way. Kill the idea that you can. That you do. Let's never forget the staggering bluntness of what Jesus is saying in these verses. But what is denying ourselves and taking up our cross for? Well, he says it. What is it? What is it? To follow him. To follow Jesus. Well, that's great, you say. We all know where that led him, where Jesus ended up, dead on the cross. But he didn't stay dead, did he? He rose again, and he's alive forever, enjoying the brilliance of being with his Father in heaven. And that takes us to the next verse. Please look at verse 35. Verse 35 says, For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. Now again, that's straightforward. If you don't deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, you will lose your life forever. But if you do deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, you will save your life forever. It's a straightforward choice. If you don't believe Rick's announcement about the bomb in this building, if you're comfortable in your nice comfy seat there, nice padded seat, if you stay asleep because this sermon has put you there, then you'll die. Jesus is saying that if you don't follow him, if you keep to your nice comfy life now and stay the boss of your life now, you'll die. It will lead you to eternal death and to hell. So the question is, what choice have you made? Really? Jesus puts it bluntly. Because we're all good at fooling ourselves, he gives us a straightforward choice. Now, just before I move on, I want to say a little bit more about this verse, which is very important. Jesus says, you'll save your life if you lose your life for him and for the gospel. He's saying that live your life for him and the great news about him now. Be serious-minded about loving Jesus, doing what pleases him now. Be serious-minded about involving yourself in the spread of the gospel now. This is how a Christian acts. After this sermon, we're going to sing a song called Live for the Kingdom. It's a great song, and it says wonderfully well what I'm saying here. It spells out how a Christian acts. So when we sing it, let's listen to it carefully. It's really part of the sermon. So what will you choose? To live life for yourself now and lose your life forever in hell, or live your life for Jesus now and for the gospel, and live forever in heaven? Well, in the next verse, Jesus asks a question of you. What is your soul, yourself, worth? What price do you put on your soul? We all buy stuff. We all make decisions about how much we'll pay. I went up the street the other day I live in Bomaderry, Lyndhurst Drive. There's the IGA just up the road. So I went up the IGA to buy some stuff. Tomatoes were $13 a kilo. $13 a kilo. No way. My sandwich is not worth that much. However, a box of 24 drumsticks was going for $16. Yes. They'll last Jill and me about a week. We've all got a price to pay for stuff. When it comes to spiritual stuff, how much are you willing to pay? What's the price? What is your soul worth? How much will you give for life forever with God? What are you willing to pay? That's the question Jesus is asking you and me here today. A Christian, a real Christian, will, and we've said it many times, deny themselves, take up their cross, execute themselves to follow Jesus. That's the price. And Jesus says here that your soul is actually worth more than anything else on earth. Do you agree? Because if you don't agree, then you won't pay the price. You'll stick with buying the stuff of this world, the pleasures and the comforts, and you'll lose your soul. And just in case we missed the point, Jesus rams it home again and basically says, there is no other way. Have a look at verse 37, very short. It says, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And of course the answer is, nothing. Nothing. You or I can gain in this life equals the price of our soul. Not our good works, not our reputation, not our church going, nothing. Nothing in this world that you have or that you can point to anything that you've done, nothing you can give to God for eternal life. There's only one way. What is it? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Following Jesus, as verse 38 says, is a private, is a public activity. It's not private. Have a look at verse 38. I'll read it. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. See, Jesus is coming again. There's a day when this world will come to a crashing close, and Jesus will know if you are one of his disciples or not. Back then when Jesus was on earth, everyone knew whether you were a disciple of his or not because you followed him around on the road. They could say, you're following Jesus. Now, of course, we can't do that literally. He's not here. But you can say you're a Christian. You can say you follow Jesus. You can act following him. You can stand up for him whatever it costs. You can stand up for him to show the whole world that I am with this man. We're tempted to be ashamed of Jesus, though. I am. You may remember the Jesus All About Life campaign a number of years ago. You remember that? Whether you do or not. Big campaign around the state about Jesus. I bought a T-shirt which had Jesus All About Life right across it. Would I wear it up to the IGA shopping? It was bright blue with Jesus emboldened, huge letters, front and back. Would I wear it? Well, I felt the temptation not to, and on occasions gave into it. I mean, after all, it didn't match my shorts. But I did wear it. I had this verse in mind. This verse is about our public allegiance to King Jesus. If we're ashamed of him now, he will be ashamed of us then when he comes back. It's incredibly hard-hitting. Now you may say, Richard, this sounds a bit like, this passage sounds a bit like being a Christian is all about what I need to do. I thought Christianity is all about what Jesus has done. Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you've asked it. There is a simple answer. Oh. Oh, you are beautiful, aren't you? Really, everyone should like you. Ah, very good. My goodness, life's all about me, isn't it? If I'm looking at myself, if I'm absorbed by myself, if my world is about me, then can I follow Jesus? What do I have to do? Have to get rid of it and follow Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Get rid of yourself in the picture of your life to follow Jesus. Where will Jesus take me if I follow him? The first place he will take me is his own cross. There he shows me what he has done for me. There he shows me God in the flesh, pouring out his life for me in agony, paying the penalty of my sins, of my evil, of my selfishness, of my lust, of my murder, of my pride. And he does it out of massive love for me. If we take our eyes off ourselves and be consumed with what Jesus has done for me, for us, taking us from our sinful wretchedness, we'll live forever. He will take us into eternal life, the brilliance of his new creation. When I was a teacher, many years ago now, I went to a new school and made a friend, another teacher. He was a science teacher. His name was Steve. Steve was not a Christian. He was a science man. He was English as well. That's right. We forgive him. We beat him at cricket. He wasn't a Christian, but he'd had a couple of good Christian friends who'd spoken to him about Jesus. But he believed the Bible was written by Enid Blyton, fairy stories. Over a couple of years of getting to know Steve, I had the opportunity of talking to him. We got to know each other. He was very open. He was great. We chatted. We chatted on Sunday afternoons, liloing down the Murrumbidgee River. Great fun, just relaxing and chatting. And we went away together and went on holidays and all that. And after 2 years, Steve said, "Richard, it's true. The Bible is true. Jesus is true. He died on the cross and rose again." Did he become a Christian? No. He didn't want to give in. He knew it was true. He didn't want to follow Jesus. He did not want to deny himself and take up his cross. And for 3 months, he was the most miserable face on the planet. Because he knew it was true. He was a scientist. He knew what was true. You had to follow it. But he wouldn't. But one day after 3 months, he came to me and said, "Richard, I've given in. I've taken up my cross. I've denied myself and I'm following him." All those sort of words. He went from misery to joy. He started following the leader. From death to life. That's what happened to Steve. The truth he knew in his head took hold in his heart and in his life, and it changed him. He acted on his beliefs. Have you done that? Have you given up the right to rule your life? Have you stopped going your own way? If you're not a Christian now, take the opportunity now to become one. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." If you want to become a Christian, let's all take hold of the sermon outline. If you want to become a Christian, this is the sort of prayer at the bottom of the sheet you should pray. Basically, it's just acknowledging the truth and giving your life to Jesus to run, recognizing what he's done for you. It'd be the best thing you'd ever done if you crossed from death to life by praying that prayer and meaning it. Well, I started off this sermon talking about doubt. Most of us here are Christians, but most of us will also doubt. Are we really Christians? Well, this prayer is for us too. It's the sort of prayer I often pray. It's the sort of prayer we actually prayed earlier in this service, confessing our sins, just recognizing again the truth and committing ourselves to it. That's what a real Christian does, keeps coming back to Jesus. That's what Peter did over and over again. The mark of the Christian is that even if they doubt, even if you sin, you keep coming back at Jesus, looking at his cross, thanking him for what he's done and asking himself with determination, please help me to deny myself, take up my cross and follow you, because there's no other way. I'm actually going to give you a moment to pray now in response to what Jesus has said to us this morning. You might like to take the words on that sheet there and pray them for yourself or just read them. For those online, it should be able to come up now. Is that right? There we go. No? I think I put it in. Yes, there it is. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you. Let's take a moment of quietness to think and pray, however you feel is appropriate for you to pray now. Amen. Let me say, if you've prayed that prayer here or online, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, if in a sense now you've become a Christian, then please, please tell someone today, because that will help you to continue following Jesus. This is a great passage, hard hitting, and I hope, like for me, which as I've been thinking about it this week, it has brought change to your life as well. Thanks, Marie.